Texas American, the world's podcast, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Feedback. We'll be having Dale on the show in approximately 1 hour from now, hanging out with us from Washington, D.C. We've got a series of things to look at before then, including what Ted Pike is telling us this morning, and that is that the hate bill is ready for a vote. Ted sends out an alert saying that today in the Senate, Senator Kennedy demanded a vote on his hate crimes bill, SA 2067. Since he co-sponsored it, no one could withstand him, not even Senate Minority Leader McConnell, who we hoped might filibuster. The vote is delayed till tomorrow, meaning today. If you love freedom, you have a little more time to call your two senators and demand a no vote. Call toll-free at 1-877-851-6437. That's 1-877-851-6437. Or toll at 202-225-3121. The toll number is 202-225-3121. We surveyed the 38 senators today, says Ted Pike, and found the relatively small protest we reported yesterday. A few offices said they received many calls. Most reported only a few. Some said none. There is no strong outcry, says Ted Pike, because large conservative Christian organizations are still failing to provide up-to-date warnings. Visit the following organizations' websites and be astonished at the total lack of timely warnings as of Tuesday morning. Focus on the Family, Concerned Women for America, American Family Association, Traditional Values Coalition, Faith to Action, and Family Research Council. This morning, a Christian activist friend called Family Research Council, desperately trying to reach anyone able to write an emergency alert. She told FRC that protest of the hate bill was small and conservative leaders are doing nothing. The spokesman replied, quote, "You can't say that nothing is being done," unquote. He referred to one paragraph by Director Tony Perkins about the hate bill, buried in a fundraising and prayer letter last Wednesday. This is the latest from Ted Pike. We need to be keeping an eye on this whole thing. The hate bill is ready for a vote, he says, and conservative leaders also need to be ready for the fight over ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, also known as H.R. 2015. This is what the National Prayer Network gives us in the way of an update in regard to both of those pieces of legislation. This quite clearly is a threat to American liberty, both of these pieces of legislation. We need to keep an eye on it. We need to be active. We need to call our representatives in both the United States Senate when it comes to the hate bill and our representative in the House of Representatives when it comes to this whole business of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar comes to us from Norway this morning in Pavan's Iran News, talking about the consequences of a forced regime change in Iran. We're going to be looking at that story in a little bit more detail after the break. Mark Glenn has a piece in the American Free Press of October the 1st entitled "Soldiers in High-Profile Incidents Die. Allegations swirl that U.S. servicemen have been silenced." Interesting story. What does it say about the First Amendment? What does it say about people who say things that perhaps are rooted in the truth that the establishment does not want brought before the American people, even in the American Free Press, as we seem to be moving lock, stock, and barrel toward a wider conflict in the Middle East? Speaking of which, when we get into the whole issue of war, Philip Giraldi has some things to say on that subject that go back to a post yesterday at antiwar.com. It's entitled, "What World War III May Look Like." Giraldi says that neoconservatives are great observers of war and warriors, though they are sometimes not in complete agreement about the numbering of the conflicts that they send other people's sons and daughters to fight. Norman Podhortz, the patriarch of the neocons, believes that the Cold War was World War III and that the U.S. is now fighting World War IV against Islamofascism. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will join us in 1 hour.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a 1-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
The Berkey Lights unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will hook up with me in approximately 1 hour from now in Washington, D.C. Speaking of Washington, D.C., I was taking a look at this special report from the American Free Press. Did Israel have advanced knowledge of the September 11th terrorist attacks? Now, of course, this information has been out there for a long time, approximately almost 6 years now. The American Free Press, of course, in December of 2001, reported extensively on this whole issue of the Israeli art students. The Israeli art students that were going around in the United States in the months preceding 9/11, approaching people at Drug Enforcement Administration buildings and at facilities connected with the United States Air Force and with other DOD departments, trying to sell art to individuals trying to get onto some of these facilities and so forth and so on. This is interesting information, not only because of what it says about the past, but also what it might be saying about what's afoot. Of course, AFP was the first to break this story. Michael Collins Piper did on December the 17th, 2001. Then, of course, 5 days after that, Carl Cameron of Brit Hume's special report on Fox News broke his report. This information subsequently ended up in the French daily Le Monde. Of course, Fox News subsequently pulled that Cameron report off of their website. And, of course, Mike Piper, as is the usual, stood by his story at AFP because it was entirely defensible. I now have had an opportunity to read the Drug Enforcement Administration report upon which Michael Collins Piper's initial report was based and upon which the initial work at Fox News was based. It makes for most interesting reading. I'll simply say this. I won't go into the details over the air of what is in this 60-page document, but there are a number of names and associations that come up. And one of the things that is most striking about it is that the level of espionage activity that is chronicled in this book has not made its way into long-term consideration by the American media. That's not surprising. But let us also say this. When we look at the activity of the Israeli spy network at that time and wonder what it might be this time, it's entirely striking for those of you who live in my home state of Texas and who are listening to this broadcast this morning. We might underscore the fact that a lot of this activity centers in Texas, as it did in California and in Florida, not exclusively, but predominantly. Texas and Florida and California were places where there was an awful lot of funny stuff going on in the months leading up to 9/11. What does it suggest? It makes us wonder what's going on now as we see things going on in the world that suggest that the winds of war are blowing. Phil Giraldi suggests that those winds of war are blowing. At antiwar.com, he reminds us that Norman Podhoretz, the patriarch of the neocons and current advisor to Rudolph Giuliani, believes that the Cold War was World War III and that the U.S. is now fighting World War IV against Islamofascism. He intends to expand World War IV, Podhoretz does, by slating Iran as the next domino to fall to America's military might. Podhoretz undoubtedly sees the current global conflict as something that is good and necessary, both containable and winnable. But as his judgment on Iraq was fallible, says Phil Giraldi, his prediction of Iran's rapid destruction is also unreliable. It might be useful to imagine just how war with Iran could play out if the Iranians don't roll over and surrender at the first whiff of grapeshot. It might start with a minor incident, says Giraldi, possibly involving an American Marine patrol operating out of the new base at Badr near the Iranian border. The Marines are surrounded by superior Iranian forces claiming that the Americans have strayed inside Iranian territory. The Marines refuse to surrender their weapons and instead open fire. The Iranians respond. Helicopter gunships are called in to support the Marines, and artillery fire is directed against Iranian military targets close to the border. President Bush calls the incident an act of war, and in an emotional speech to the nation, orders U.S. forces to attack. A hastily called meeting of the U.N. Security Council results in a 17-1 vote, urging the United States to exercise restraint, with only Washington voting no. And the U.N. Assembly, says Giraldi, only the U.S., Israel, Micronesia, and Costa Rica support the military action. The U.S. is effectively alone. In the first few days, overwhelming American air and naval superiority destroy Iran's principal air, naval, and army bases. Iranian Revolutionary Guard facilities are particularly targeted and are obliterated, as are the known Iranian nuclear research and development sites. Population centers are avoided, though smart weapons destroy communication centers and command and control facilities. There are nevertheless large numbers of civilian casualties and widespread radioactive contamination, as many of the targeted sites are in or near cities. Infrastructure is also hit, particularly bridges, roads, and power generation stations close to known nuclear research centers and military sites. The U.S. media, which had supported the administration's plans to engage Iran, rallies around the flag, praising the surgical attacks designed to cripple Tehran's nuclear weapons program. Congress supports the bombing, with leaders from both parties praising the president and commenting that Iran had it coming. The Pentagon and White House called the attacks a complete success, but Iran strikes back, says Phil Giraldi. With 5 years to prepare, Iran has successfully hidden and hardened many of its military and nuclear facilities, a large percentage of which are undamaged. The U.S. aircraft carrier USS Eisenhower, operating in the Persian Gulf, is hit by a Chinese Silkworm cruise missile and grounds itself in shallow water to avoid sinking. Three other support vessels are also hit and are severely damaged when they are attacked by small craft manned by suicide bombers. Pro-Iranian riots break out in Beirut, where the government is forced to call in soldiers to shoot at the crowds. In the south of Lebanon, Hezbollah fires salvos of rockets into Israel. Israel responds by bombing Lebanon and Syria, which it blames for the attacks. Iranian Shahab-3 missiles also strike Israel, killing a number of civilians. The Israeli Defense Forces are mobilized, and troops are sent to the northern border. Syria and Lebanon also mobilized their forces. Rioters in Baghdad attack U.S. troops in the American embassy and are driven back only after the soldiers open fire and call in helicopter gunships. Snipers attack American soldiers all over Iraq. Shiites sympathetic to Iran sabotage Saudi Arabia's eastern oil fields. The Saudi fields suffer some damage, and hundreds of alleged saboteurs are shot dead by Saudi security forces. An oil tanker out of Kuwait is hit by a silkworm close to the Straits of Hormuz and runs aground. Another hits a mine planted by Iran. Insurers in London refuse to cover any tankers transiting the Persian Gulf. Oil shipments from the region, one quarter of the world's supply, stop completely, and oil goes up to $200 a barrel. Wall Street suffers its biggest loss in 20 years, says Giraldi, with the Dow Jones Index plummeting by more than 800 points. The U.S. offers Iran a ceasefire, which Tehran rejects. 2 days later, President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan is assassinated under orders from Tehran. Fearing that he will be next after Karzai, Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf flees to Dubai. Order breaks down in both countries. The Pakistani army declares a state of emergency. Several leaders in the Pakistani tribal areas that are sheltering Osama bin Laden declare themselves independent. Fighting increases in Iraq, with U.S. soldiers being targeted by both leading Shiite militias. U.S. troops evacuate Baghdad, fighting their way out with heavy casualties. There are reports of Iranian soldiers and militiamen massing at the border. Rioters in Basra succeed in cutting the main roads leading to Kuwait that supply U.S. forces. The U.S. scrambles to contain the damage, pressuring the Pakistani army to put down the riots and secure the country's nuclear arsenal, while at the same time trying to restore order in Kabul through the multinational force. Several NATO allies balk at using their soldiers in what they see as a burgeoning civil war, and the U.S. suffers heavy losses in street fighting before withdrawing to its bases. Taliban-backed militias take over much of Kabul and Kandahar. Afghanistan's Mazar-e-Sharif, which is largely Shiite, declares itself part of Iran. Waves of Iranian soldiers and militiamen cross the border into Iraq, where they are welcomed by the Iraqi militias. U.S. troops are under siege countrywide and are forced to withdraw into their bases where they can be supplied by air. The Iraqi government, says Phil Giraldi, resigns and is replaced by a group of Shiite clerics. The government in Lebanon falls and is replaced by a coalition headed by Hezbollah. A salvo of Iranian silkworm missiles sets the Saudi Arabian eastern oil fields ablaze. Saudi Arabia sends an urgent message to Tehran, declaring that it is neutral in the fighting and will not assist the United States in any way. Kuwait sends the same message, as does Egypt. Kuwait refuses to allow the U.S. to use its men and supplies at Camp Doha against Iran. In Bahrain, rampaging Shiite crowds depose Sheikh Khalifa al-Khalifa and set up an Islamic Republic, which immediately demands that the U.S. Fifth Fleet dismantle its headquarters and go home. The Dow Jones Index loses another 1,000 points. The U.S. attempts to get China and Russia to mediate with Iran to end the fighting, but they refuse to do Washington any favor, says Giraldi, noting that they had opposed the attack in the first place. Suicide bombers attack London, Washington, New York, and Los Angeles. The attacks are poorly planned and inflict only a few casualties, but panic sets in, and the public demands that the respective governments do something. The U.S. tells the Iranian government that unless resistance ceases, nuclear weapons will be used on select targets. We'll be back with Philip Giraldi's scenario. what World War III may look like when Mark Dantos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Back. This is Mark Antoff, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been taking a look in the first hour of the show at Phil Giraldi's essay entitled, What World War III May Look Like. This is an important essay, folks. Phil Giraldi has been on the show, of course. He is the gentleman who writes the very, very interesting column month after month for the American Conservative, that's Pat Buchanan's magazine. And it deals with all of the things that are going on in the Middle East and in the arena of international intrigue. And when you read through what Phil Giraldi offers to Pat Buchanan's publication, and of course is noteworthy that Giraldi is an ex-CIA analyst in his own right, who also does a lot of very fine work as a consultant for Vincent Canestraro's company, Canestraro Associates. And if you don't know who Vincent Canestraro is and what his connections happen to be, check him out at Wikipedia, among other places, to see exactly what kinds of connections Philip Giraldi has as he writes not only for Buchanan's magazine, but as he comes on this show from time to time. As I read through Giraldi's account this morning at antiwar.com, I'm reminded of Barbara Tuchman's book, The Guns of August. If you've not read it before, you need to. I understand that in the summer of 1962, that book was read by John Fitzgerald Kennedy and shaped his thinking in a way that may have been providential in regard to what Kennedy Kennedy did and did not do in October of 1962. But be that as it may, the Barbara Tuchman book, The Guns of August, going back to how World War I began, is very instructive when we look at Phil Giraldi's essay today entitled What World War III May Look Like. The point is that once you take a particular course, when it comes to armed conflict, unintended consequences may follow. Tit may lead to tat. A may lead to B. B may lead to C. C may lead all the way to Z. And Phil Giraldi's scenario, of course, is something that is a warning to us that his very plausible roadmap of how this whole thing may unfold may quickly move from may unfold to will unfold as people like Norman Podhoretz continue to work from within the Jewish Zionist establishment to ensure that it will happen, and to do so in conjunction with some of their pals in media, people like Bill Kristol at the Weekly Standard, people like Rupert Murdoch at Fox News with all of the pro-Zionist shills that routinely broadcast for that network. This seems to be what we are headed toward, folks, unless there is a change of course, and a change of course very, very soon. When we get to the point, as Giraldi chronicles it in his essay today, where suicide bombers attack London, Washington, New York, and Los Angeles, is that what it will take for the American public to wake up to the fact that what the Zionist lobby has involved us in the Middle East is not and never has been in the national interest of this country? Giraldi says that the attacks are poorly planned and inflict only a few casualties. This is the scenario that he paints. But panic sets in, and the public demands that the respective governments do something. Should they not have been demanding this well before now? I think that is the question begged by Philip Giraldi's hypothetical essay at antiwar.com today. Giraldi goes on to say that the U.S. tells the Iranian government that unless resistance ceases, nuclear weapons will be used on select targets. India and Pakistan are alarmed by the U.S. threat and put their own nuclear forces on high alert, as does Israel. Russia and China also increase their readiness levels to respond to the crisis. Iran refuses to concede defeat, and the Iranian people rally around the government. The U.S. public clamors for action. Oil prices continue to surge, and even the long-term viability of petroleum supplies is in question as the Straits of Hormuz continue to be closed. Another U.S. ship is sunk by suicide attackers in the Persian Gulf. U.S. troops are under fire nearly everywhere in Iraq and Afghanistan. Anti-American rioting takes place in Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, and Dhaka. The U.S. Consulate General in Karachi, Pakistan, is overrun and sacked. 40 Americans are killed, along with hundreds of Pakistanis. The Pakistani army announces that it can no longer protect Americans. There are frequent terrorism scares in a number of American cities, which are under red alert security lockdown, though there are no new attacks. As a preventative measure, Muslim leaders and some anti-war activists are arrested and detained at military prisons, including Guantanamo. Israel continues to be bombarded from inside Lebanon and Syria. Its air attacks on targets in both countries inflict major damage on civilians, but are unsuccessful in stopping the rockets. Rioting rocks the West Bank and Gaza. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas flees to Cairo. India threatens to attack Pakistan if there is any question about the security of Islamabad's nuclear arsenal. Phil Giraldi continues. The United States uses a neutron-type bomb against the main Iranian nuclear research center at Natanz, which it had already bombed conventionally and destroyed. It vows to bomb again if Iran continues to resist. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Is Giraldi's scenario actually going to unfold? Come to the No More Wars for Israel conference October 12th through the 14th in Los Angeles. Speak out against it. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been taking a look at this most plausible essay today by Philip Giraldi. He, of course, has been a guest on my show. Philip Giraldi is ex-CIA. He is a consultant for several intelligence-oriented think tanks, including Canestraro Associates, connected with the legendary Vincent Canestraro. Phil Giraldi, of course, also writes a regular column on intrigue and Middle Eastern events for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative. When we look at what he says today in this essay, we can see exactly how plausible and how terrifying this scenario really is. Terrifying because it is that plausible. This is a very, very easily read, very easily understood article as far as seeing how the fall of one card may of necessity lead to the fall of other cards, and that as the cards begin falling, events may be moving in a direction that Mr. Bush and his Zionist cohorts and his friends like John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio may not have anticipated. Except, of course, for Hagee, who might say, boy, I agree with that scenario because that's Armageddon, and that's a great thing. And all the Christians will be raptured before this horrible business begins, and all of us ought to be rooting this scenario on so that we can hasten the second coming of Jesus Christ. Would that be Hagee's reaction to this article? It certainly is the logical conclusion to what he argues for, as well as people like Robertson and the late Jerry Falwell and so forth and so on. Is this what they want? And that they will bank their future and yours on the parenthesis theory regarding the ninth chapter of Daniel that originated in the 19th century? Pretty scary stuff. I just sent this article this morning to a guy named Dr. Ted Peters. Peters was a professor of mine at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary over 25 years ago. He is the editor of a Lutheran magazine entitled Dialogue. Deals with all kinds of political and theological issues. Generally, in my judgment, has a port of center orientation, which is not my own. Ted leans to port, I lean to starboard. And yet we've maintained a very long conversation with one another over many years. We're very good friends. And he was asking me yesterday, Dr. Peters was, what I thought of this whole business about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad being at Columbia University. And interestingly enough, Dr. Ted Peters, this very famous Lutheran theologian, said the same thing that Mark Glenn said to me of the American Free Press yesterday. And that is that the performance of the president of Columbia University was absolutely embarrassing. Absolutely pathetic that the head of a major American university would have, at the one hand, extended an opportunity to speak to an individual like Ahmadinejad, and on the other hand, would have attacked him in introductory remarks before the speaker was allowed to go on. Who in the history of this country would have conducted themselves in this fashion in the past? You know, whatever you think of a speaker, and I've always tried to maintain this on this radio show. I've had one or two guests, not too many, but one or two guests over the course of the last year that I've not been happy with. The good news is that I've been happy with about 98% of them. But when we come to those people that we don't agree with, when we come to those ideas that are not our own, how do we deal with that? Do we deal with it diplomatically and rationally and clearly? I think we have to make it very clear that those ideas are not our ideas when we disagree. But I think we have to articulate our differences in a way that indicate that we are not barbarians, that we are not advocates of mob rule, but that the rule of law and of logic and of diplomacy and of simple human decency continue to apply. I thought the decorum yesterday of the president of Columbia University was despicable. I thought that this mob psychology that was taking over in regard to the analysis of Mr. Ahmadinejad's remarks was nothing short of terrifying. And I would simply like to ask this before we get back to Giraldi's essay. How many of us have read the real text of what Ahmadinejad did say? You see, most of us, myself included, are hostage to the language barrier. And because of that, we cannot evaluate what Mahmoud Ahmadinejad had to say in regard to his own words. We rely upon translations. Hopefully, we can find a translation of this into the language or languages that we do understand, presuming that we don't understand Farsi, in a way that will enable us to hear directly from the president of Iran in regard to what he said, and not to have those remarks filtered through Fox News, which is more than happy, in conjunction with Israeli intelligence, to let us know what he said, as long as the interpretation fits a preconceived game plan, which is designed to further alienate Iran from the United States, to further demonize Ahmadinejad, and to cause the winds of war to blow even harder. And to see an American university president succumbing to this and becoming a tool of that lobby, in my judgment, is absolutely a sad day. And Dr. Ted Peters, the editor of Dialogue, the Lutheran publication on the West Coast, said as much to me yesterday in a email note that I won't read in the air, but basically that he thought the decorum of a major university president in this entire situation was simply not in the interest of this country, not in the tradition of this country. What does it say about decency, diplomacy, academic freedom, administrative decorum, how we treat those that we disagree with when it comes to rational debate? These are all very, very interesting questions raised by Dr. Ted Peters of Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. I happen to agree with his remarks in this perspective, and I find it particularly striking that Dr. Peters, who perhaps comes from one place in the ideological spectrum, has the same slant that Mark Lynn of the American Free Press does. And you know why? Because whatever the differences between those two gentlemen might be theologically and politically, they are both decent human beings who conclude that there are certain rules that if you're a decent human being, you have to play by, whether you're left, center, or right, when it comes to the ideological spectrum, however we define that ideological spectrum in this particular day and age. Phil Giraldi, then, going back to antiwar.com, further unfolds the scenario of what World War III may look like. He says, after everything else that's happened here, and lo, these many paragraphs, that the United States finally uses a neutron-type bomb against the main Iranian research center at Natanz, which it had already bombed conventionally and destroyed. It vows to bomb again if Iran continues to resist. Iran is defiant and fires another wave of silkworms at U.S. ships, sinking one. Suicide bombers hit U.S. targets in Iraq and Afghanistan. Russia and China place their nuclear forces on high alert. Pakistani militants take over parliament, aided by radical elements in the army and the intelligence service. India launches a preemptive strike against the main Pakistani nuclear centers at Wah and Multan, where the country's arsenal is believed to be concentrated. Pakistan has hidden some of its nukes elsewhere, however, and is able to strike back by bombing New Delhi. World War III has begun. World War III has begun. Take a look at that essay today. Philip Giraldi of Canestraro Associates and also of Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, and what he unfolds for us as a trained intelligence analyst with a Middle East specialty in a piece entitled What World War III May Look Like. May look like or will look like. I guess we'll have to wait a few more weeks and months potentially to find out. But in the meantime, we have an obligation to speak out and to act in responsible ways while there's yet time to do it. And it seems to me that this involves supporting the No More Wars for Israel conference is taking place in Southern California, October 12th through the 14th. For more information, go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. Mark Lynn of the American Free Press is working overtime to make this thing happen. He's putting together the financial package. He's handling the logistics of scheduling the speakers and getting them booked into their hotel rooms. He's handling their air travel arrangements at the same time that he's keeping all of his commitments to the American Free Press in regard to his journalism. He's still doing the same things for RBN, for my show and for Mike Piper's show and for Hesham Talawi's show, whenever he's asked to do it. I don't know how this young man does it, especially with a wife and eight kids. But this is what he's doing, folks, and guess what? He needs our help. Any resources available to you that you can spare today to go to the right causes, support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the American Free Press. Support Congressman Ron Paul and get behind this No More Wars for Israel conference. Folks, Philip Giraldi, who unfolds what he unfolds for us today at antiwar.com, is one of the most respected names in Middle Eastern analysis, one of the most respected names with a past in the American intelligence community, one of the most respected people and analysts in what we call a paleoconservative publication. This guy's credentials are impeccable, and they're second to none. And if you read what he says in his essay entitled What World War III May Look Like, he is suggesting something that is entirely plausible. That's what makes it so terrifying. It's not only plausible, some would even say probable. And I'll go on record as saying that I'm one of the people in the probable camp. This thing is gathering steam. The London Sunday Times, as I mentioned yesterday, had a piece on Sunday which indicates that Dr. Lonnie Kass, K-A-S-S, whose biography you can find on the official United States Air Force webpage, is a former Israeli major educated in Jerusalem. With all of the predictable links to the Israeli intelligence community, and according to what the London Sunday Times has said, she is helping the United States Air Force plan the air campaign against Iran that Phil Giraldi works into his essay in a way which proves that that particular event, if it happens, some would say when it happens, is going to usher in World War III. On behalf of whom? On behalf of whom? On behalf of whom? On behalf of whom? The No More Wars for Israel conference is being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. For more information, go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. How do you help? How do you help? Well, you can send Mark Glenn a gift. If you send him a gift, you can go to that webpage, nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. You send Mark Glenn a gift, whatever you can afford. That gift is used to help him in the administration of this conference. And when you look at the people that he has already lined up to speak at this conference, as well as the folks who may be there, it is absolutely incredible to see what's unfolding there that will take place in L.A. from October 12th through the 14th. Number two, when I think of the things that you don't know about folks yet that I know about because Mark shares them with me in confidence, this could be the most pivotal political event of our lifetimes as far as those of us who don't want to go to war for Israel, who don't want to go to war for Zionist interests, and who think that the government of the United States is acting illegally and unconstitutionally in 99% of what it does, and on behalf of whom? This is your chance, folks, to give those people who are fighting for you for a change the resources that they need to carry on the ideological fight, the media fight, the fight in a world where there is still a remaining window of time to have a free exchange of free ideas. These folks need you, and they need you now. You can also register for that conference. The information's there, nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. Hotel rooms are $124 per night, double occupancy allowed. Registration is $150 per person, couples $175. You can send checks or money orders to Mark Glenn at the following address, P.O. Box 27, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho. Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809. That's Mark Glenn, Box 27, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809. Or again, go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com and do the same thing electronically. There are instructions at the bottom of that page as to how to contribute to this conference or to register for the conference. However you do it, folks, we need you, and we need you now. Whether it's the Republic Broadcasting Network or it's Ron Paul's presidential campaign at ronpaul2008.com, whether it's the American Free Press at 1-888-699-NEWS, or it's the No More Wars for Israel conference, these are the things that you need to put your resources behind while there's yet time. Financial resources, number one, or is it number one? I'll say it's number two. Number one is prayer. Number two is financial resource to the extent that God has put you in a position to help, whether it's $1 or it's $5 or it's $10 or it's $1,000 or it's $5,000. Allow God to guide you in what you give to this conference and what you give to this movement. There's a third thing, networking. Those of you who use a telephone, those of you who talk to people that you know, which presumably is all of you, those of you who are on the internet, if you have two regular correspondents, or 5, or 10, or 15, or 200, let them know about this conference, tell them how important it is, ask them to publicize it with all of their contacts, and to ask them to support it financially while there's still time to do it. And you know what? What might be particularly effective? Do so in conjunction with the URL link to Philip Giraldi's essay today at antiwar.com. Send them this essay, What World War III May Look Like. Tell them that you think it's probably what it will look like. And mention this conference to them. Ask them to be involved. Maybe you reach one person out of five, one person out of 10, one person out of 100, one person out of 200 in terms of your daily or weekly contacts. But think about how divine providence is selecting the people who are listening to my voice right now in regard to participation. Participate with your gifts and with your prayers. And maybe God is just going to use you to help him in his selection process of others to be involved in this team. We are a growing team. All of the polls show that America is fed up with this war. America is fed up with our government. America is fed up with this expansionistic policy in the Middle East. And this is your chance, folks, to be on the team. No More Wars for Israel.blogspot.com. Send it to your friends in conjunction with Phil Giraldi's essay, What World War III May Look Like. This is Mark Dankos, America. We'll be back with Dale Crowley in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will be up after the first commercial break, after the top of the hour. I want to congratulate my old friend Michael Collins Piper, our own Michael Collins Piper of both the Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press. His essay entitled U.S. Nuclear Weapons Being Guarded by Israel is now at the Kavkaz Center in Chechnya. I subscribe to their news service. That's where I saw this morning. K-A-V-K-A-Z Center, KavkazCenter.com, has Michael Collins Piper's essay, U.S. Nuclear Weapons Being Guarded by Israel. Mike Piper says that American supporters of Israel were delighted to learn that an Israeli company, Magal Security Systems, owned in part by the government of Israel, is in charge of security for the most sensitive nuclear power and weapons storage facilities in the United States. The largest perimeter security company in the world, Magal started out as a division of Israeli Aircraft Industries, which was owned in part by the government of Israel. In recent years, however, Magal evolved into a publicly traded company, although IAI, and thus the government of Israel, still holds a substantial share in the highly successful firm. What all of this means is that the government of Israel will actually have control over the security of America's nuclear weapons. Supporters of Israel, says Mike Piper, say that this is a splendid idea since Israel is said to be perhaps America's closest ally in the face of the planet. However, there are some critics who question the propriety of America's super-sensitive nuclear security being in the hands of any foreign nation, particularly Israel, which even today officially denies that it is engaged in the production of nuclear arms. Be that as it may, says Mike Piper, however, Magal's global interests are quite broad-ranging. Having secured 90% of Israel's borders through a wide-ranging array of super-modern space-age technology, Magal has now branched out internationally. Not only does Magal provide security for American nuclear facilities, but it also does likewise for most major nuclear facilities in Western Europe and Asia. In addition, the Israeli firm also provides security for Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and for the last 15 years has kept a watch on the Queen of England's famed Buckingham Palace in London. What's more, Magal provides security for 90% of the American prisons that utilize electronic systems. Magal brags that its other clients around the globe include borders, airports, industrial sites, communication centers, military installations, correctional facilities, government agencies, VIP estates and residences, commercial buildings, and storage yards. There is hardly a major country or major enterprise that does not have Magal's security specialists keeping a close watch on their activities. Clearly, Magal is no small enterprise, says Mike Piper. While 27% of its total sales are in the Israeli market, its largest market is in North America, which currently accounts for 35% of its sales. However, Magal's American outreach is expected to increase substantially, especially now that that firm has set up a Washington, D.C. office, which will promote its products to federal agencies and to the members of Congress, who provide funding for federally supervised security projects across the country at all levels, local, state, and national. And with current U.S. Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff, not only a strong supporter of Israel, but also the son of a woman who has strong Israeli ties, even including service with El Al, the national airline of Israel, Magal, owned in part by Israeli Aircraft Industries, will be a clear-cut favorite in the eyes of the power brokers and official Washington, who have the power to grant lucrative security contracts. At the moment, says Mike Piper, Magal has 4 U.S.-based subsidiaries, 2 in California, Stellar Security Products and Perimeter Products Incorporated, as well as the New York-based Smart Interactive Systems and the Virginia-based Dominion Wireless Incorporated. We'll be back with Dale Crowley. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
It's true.